This is something that is very typically and deeply Aristotelian. One looks for those individuals, and I invite you to do precisely that same task as we proceed through these various lectures one after the other, looking at one or another virtue, looking at one or another type of friend, to try to see who it is that models this in order to sketch out and to flesh out one's own ethics in an Aristotelian fashion. Now, when one undertakes this, I would also invite you to undertake it with a close reading of the text. I've already mentioned that there are 10 books in Aristotle's Ethics. This is a collection of all of his major works, and the section on the ethics is about this much in length. In those 10 books, we might think of them about as chapter length today, by today's standards. In each of those 10 books, there are lots of subdivisions, and by scholars' standards, each of those is called a chapter, even though it may be only a page or two pages running. But I would like to give you a bit of a study technique that I myself have found helpful in trying to come to terms with Aristotle, and that I think might help you in addition to the notes that we provide for this course. It's a technique that I learned in a Shakespeare course years ago, when the way in which our Shakespeare teacher would examine us was, after every four plays, giving us a test with little gobbets, five or six lines. And what we had to identify was what play, what act, what scene, who was talking to whom about what. And I thought to myself, how could I ever remember that? But what he instructed us was that we should make our own cliff notes. That is, force ourselves at the end of each little scene to write one sentence of summary of the plot. And if in doing that, instead of just reading it in a cliff notes, but by forcing ourselves to use that active use of our mind to write out one sentence, by the end of an act you'd have five or six sentences, by the end of a play you'd have 30. And I could remember a tremendous amount about the course of a play's conduct. But in addition to remembering just how the plot unfolds, I found that terribly useful in philosophy. Very useful when reading a classic and compelling text like Aristotle's Ethics. It's a matter of forcing yourself to say in any given section, what was the main point? And if you have trouble saying it, because some of the sections are a little more dense than others, you have a great question. What was involved in that particular section? And if you were to do this, I think that you will find the reading to go along quite easily. Aristotle has been called by many scholars a philosopher of common sense. And so when you're undertaking this exercise, I would very much urge you to think of it in commonsensical terms, that he is trying most of the time to make the point that common sense would make, and to do so in a way that will try to reflect what your experience is, like the experience of the Greeks for whom he most immediately wrote. He's looking for the kind of arguments that he thinks will make sense to any person who is reading or pondering this matter. And I think that this will much profit your reading of the particular book that we're going to be reading. Let me conclude our lecture today by commenting on some of the more important and key terms that you will find, especially in the first book, but then repeatedly throughout the course of reading Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics. The first thing I think that you would need to look at is that he's going to be concerned with seeking for various goods. Now, to talk about the seeking for various goods, you need to make an elementary distinction. There is a distinction, I think, between a genuine good and an apparent good. By a genuine good, I mean the sort of good that really does help us, really does satisfy us, as opposed to an apparent good, one that is very attractive, seems very delightful, but that may not really help us. Both of them can be called goods in the sense that they are things that we desire. And this is a technical term for Aristotle. He uses the term good to refer to what is desirable, whether it's desirable and really worthy of being desired, or whether it's the sort of thing which we ought to know better. I think about it, for instance, in the terms of really healthy food versus junk food. Well, yes, there is foods that are really good for us, but we may not like them, and then there are the junk foods. Or sometimes when I go to the symphony, haven't you ever noticed that they put the piece you really want to hear in the beginning and the piece you really want to hear at the end, and in the middle they put one of those pieces that's good for you? But nonetheless, Aristotle's very deep conviction is that there are many things which attract us, and that what the project of ethics is to try to review those apparent goods and to try to determine which of the apparent goods, the things which we do in fact desire, are things which are really genuine good for us and things that will really foster us.